Two verses from today's gospel reading, both of them about the disciples. They did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. And then the second one. But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. Now, these are two images of what it's like to be a follower of Jesus. And what I want to suggest is that they are as relevant for us as they were for the disciples. I want us to be able to picture that this is us expressing that confusion, doing that boasting, and feeling a little bit bad about it afterwards. They're very human emotions. I would suggest, well, I certainly have been in situations where I've been experiencing something similar, and I bet the same thing's true of all of us. Again, the two descriptions are, they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. And the second, but they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. Now, before I dive into that a little bit more, what I want to do is to tell you a very interesting story. I find this cultural story fascinating. Have you ever heard of method acting? Method acting is what formed Marlon Brando, James Dean, Paul Newman, Meryl Streep. I mean, you name a great American actor or actress, and chances are they have been trained in method acting, which began with a Russian by the name of Stanislavski. Stanislavski was somebody who arose right after the generation of Chekhov, Chekhov's great realistic plays, which The Cherry Orchard, Three Sisters, The Seagull, Uncle Vanya. Any of these sound familiar? But they're incredibly rich plays with have all these different nuances of relationships. And to realize those plays, Stanislavski brought in a whole way of acting that asks the actors to fully imagine the situation. Of course, you're up on a stage and you've got only a certain number of props, but he asks them, what does it smell like? Has the hay been cut outside? What do the clothes truly feel like? What's the past history of the character? What are the things that are motivating them? Really fill in all the details. Now, here's the really interesting thing. Stanislavski, although he was in Russia, was educated by Jesuits. Jesuits, as you may know, the Jesuit order was founded by St. Ignatius of Loyola. St. Ignatius of Loyola was a genius in many ways, but part of his genius was spiritual formation genius. And what he did is he set up a way of being formed that used the imagination. You may have heard of Ignatian 8-day or 28-day retreats. In those retreats, there is a structured series of imaginative exercises that Ignatius gives to the spiritually hungry person to shape them and form them. So there are these sequences of biblical stories, and Ignatius asks you to imagine that you have been placed in those stories, that you are that character, that you are that woman who has been bleeding for 12 years. What is it like? What does it feel like to reach out and touch the hem of Jesus' cloak and feel that blood disappear in an instant? What is that like? Could you be that person? What is it like to be Lazarus? What does it smell like as you wake up in that tomb and smell your own decaying flesh and have those bands wrapped all around you, and then there is Jesus saying, come out, Lazarus. You know? What is that like? What are your emotions? What are your senses? It's a whole immersion in the experience. Or what is it like to be Mary or the beloved disciple at the foot of the cross and to see Jesus bleeding? How is that blood running down the cross? What does it feel like? What do you feel as you look on Jesus and his face? What's the expression? What happens when you turn and look at the person on the other side of the cross, at the beloved disciple or Jesus' mother? What's that relationship like? What do you feel when Jesus says to you, behold your mother or behold your son? You see? Can you see how slowly immersing yourself in the situation can awaken your heart and imagination and form it in a slightly different way? So, my point is that this is a very rich tradition and a completely legitimate way of entering into the Bible. So I want to do that a bit and ask us to imagine that we are these disciples, that we are walking along with Jesus along a dusty road, and you can feel, do you have sandals on? Do you not? What does the robe feel like? What do the people feel and smell like on either side of you? And then here's where we have to suspend our disbelief. We know, because we do Holy Week every week, how this story unfolds. But imagine that you don't. You just know that you love this man and that you trust him and that you're really impressed, but you still don't understand exactly who he is, what he's doing. And then he comes out with this. The Son of Man is going to be put to death and then 3 days later rise from the dead. What's your reaction? What does that feel like? It's not that hard to imagine that you would hear something that disorienting and be afraid to raise your hand. Have you ever been in a class where the teacher has said something and you haven't quite understood it, but you've been afraid to admit that you don't understand what just got said, and you kind of look around the classroom and you don't want to be the only idiot, so you just keep your mouth shut? I have. And I imagine that every single disciple was feeling that way in that moment. But in an even scarier way, because this isn't just a teacher that you have a couple hours a week. This is the guy you're following. This is the guy you gave up everything to follow. And they're going to kill him? So enter into that disorientation. One of the fundamentally important things to do as you mature as a Christian is to understand that we are those apostles and to not cast judgment. That certainly was a major move for me early on. I used to think, boy, these guys are idiots. And then I later discovered those idiots are me. So here goes the second one. And that second one where they say they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. Okay, you can sort of picture this one. Maybe Jesus sets too fast of a pace and he goes on ahead, leaving you behind with four or five or six. And you can just imagine the game. Well, I think it may be Peter. Yeah, but remember he called him Satan, so it's probably not Peter. Well, but he was one of the three that was taken up when Jesus did that thing that we didn't see. That was just Peter, James, and John, so it's probably one of them. Oh, no, it wouldn't be me, could it? Yeah, again, you've been in this situation. You know it. You've heard it where that subtle, uncomfortable, what's my standing here? Maybe I'm boasting a little bit to seem better than I am. Maybe I'm being fake modest, really hoping that somebody else is going to pump me up so that I can be the great guy. All that. It's human. We recognize this. We recognize this. And the part of the point of this story is that by the time they land in Capernaum and Jesus sits them down, he recognizes it too. And I don't think you have to imagine that he's got some divine, overhearing superpower to know what's going on, right? I mean, Jesus just brilliantly knows human interactions. So as they were arguing back there, he was probably thinking to himself, I know what they're doing. It's not good. So finally, the last thing I want you to be able to visualize is what Jesus does as a teaching. Not only does he use words, do you remember what he does? I mean, and this is really beautiful. It's very specific here. It says that Jesus, in order to illustrate his point that the least are the greatest and that one is to be a servant, he takes a child in his arms. And this is where it's worth slowing down and doing the full-on Ignatian thing. Can you imagine being that child whom Jesus takes in his arms, whom Jesus enfolds in a hug, in an embrace? What would that feel like to be taken up into the lap of this one who just oozed out love and forgiveness? What would it be like to be that child? What would that feel like? What would your heart do? What's the texture of Jesus' clothes? What does it feel like? What do you want to do? Do you want to put your head right on his chest? Do you just want to hug him around the neck? If you're that child, what would that embrace look like or feel like? I want to conclude this imagistic sermon with an image I just read recently that really sticks with me. I've been reading our greatest American theologian and philosopher, a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards, who is probably less appreciated than he ought to be. But in one of his great sermons, he asks his parishioners to picture that they are children, that they are children following Jesus. And not only that, very specifically, they are children walking alongside Jesus, holding his hand, which, you know, if you've held a children's hand or can remember what it's like to be a child and holding an adult's hand, you're up like this, right? Because the adult's bigger than you are. But here's the really beautiful thing, I think, and it's very striking, it's sort of burned in my retina, is that as you're walking along with Jesus, look up from time to time and notice the wound in his hand. Amen.